Thank you, Dove. Yeah, we're going to get to see a lot of each other this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, good evening, everyone. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which we actually started at the request of a friend of mine. I don't know how long ago we started this, but the request was that we start at the beginning of ReginaDonAkers.com and just go through everything in chronological order. And now we're up to November 2005. So I've given you all a link to where we are at ReginaDonAkers.com. And in fact, the first message we're going to begin with today is called Your Brother is Your Gift to Yourself. And it's dated November 15th. So when you get to that particular link, November 2005, what you can do is scroll down to Tuesday, November 15th, and that's where we're going to begin tonight. And I was drug away from American Idol to come here. I don't watch TV hardly at all. It's funny because before getting involved with the course all of my life, I was a bit of a TV addict, but that's one of the things that just fell away. But the one show I do watch with Jasmine every year is American Idol. this will be our fourth season watching American Idol. We got hooked on it when we moved here. The year that we moved here, Kelly Pickler was on American Idol, and she's actually from here. Our neighbors knew her. My brother and his family know her, and all these people know her really well. We only met her once, but they all know her very well. So because everybody knew her, we started watching American Idol, and we just fell in love with the show. So it's the one TV show that I watch, and I had to drag myself away from it to come here. I wouldn't be surprised if half the people in the room aren't really in the room. They're in front of the TV watching American Idol, I bet. It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. And it's a great opportunity, I think, also to watch the mind for judgments, because they kind of set the show up so that you will judge. It's, you know, it's set up to trigger judgments in the mind. So it's a great opportunity to practice watching those judgments in the mind. And what I'm finding is that eventually you can actually watch American Idol with at least fewer judgments in the mind. I would certainly be lying if I said I saw none, but you know, that love just stretches out to everyone eventually, and there's a lot fewer, and who knows, maybe some year, maybe this is how we'll know when we're awakened, is when we sit down and watch American Idol with just pure joy and love and no judgments at all, especially the preliminaries. all right. Oops, here comes Jasmine. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, I'm going to miss it. Bye.
Oh.
Hi, guys.
Mwah, she's running off to watch American Idol. Okay, have fun.
Bye.
Bye. All right, so what I would like to do is just go into prayer to turn this next hour over to the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, first of all, I just want to thank you for everything. Absolutely everything, without exception. I know that everything that we experience is useful to our awakening. When we remember to make our goal awakening and love. And since nothing is wasted, everything is used. I just want to thank you for everything. And what I ask is that you help me to stay in touch with you by remembering the purpose of all things. Help me not to forget. Help me to watch and experience this life with you. As we go tonight to look at these messages that were given to me by you a few years ago, I ask that you help us to see whatever is most useful in these messages for us today, now. Please help us to realize whatever is most helpful for us to realize in our awakening. And I thank you in advance. Amen. All right. I don't know if anybody else entered the room. I don't remember seeing Lenny there. Maybe he was there, but just in case he wasn't, there's the link again. And again, we're going to November 15th. So when you get to that link, you can just scroll down to November 15th. It's a message called Your Brother is Your Gift to Yourself. And I'll just start reading the question, and then we'll see what Holy Spirit had to say. Holy Spirit, through your guidance, I just read The Rewards of God in A Course in Miracles, Chapter 4. What would you share with me now? And here's the answer. Your brother is your gift to yourself. Seen through the eyes of the ego, he is a scapegoat, responsible for all things evil, responsible for all of your misery and pain. But seen through me, he is a gift of healing that you have given yourself, so you may see your pain and suffering and let it go as unreal. When you look at your brother, remember, you are looking at me, for there is no separation of any kind. So the blot you see on your brother is a blot you see on me. If you remember who I am, then you may remember that this blot cannot be real. So it must be imagined. I think we may have read this before. As I'm reading over it now, it's sounding familiar, but I'm going to keep reading the message. Then you may ask yourself, who imagined this blot? Since it is you who perceives the blot, you must be the imaginer. There is great joy in this realization, because if you have done the imagining, you can choose to stop imagining, and the blot disappears. This is when you realize that the blot was within your own mind. So it is through this process of forgiveness that you are healing yourself. Through forgiveness, you take away your pain and misery. And all this you were able to do because your brother, who is me, showed you the blot within your mind, so you could choose to be healed. This is the gift of gratitude I ask of you. In realizing this gratitude, you realize who it is that you must be. Through the final realization and acceptance of that fact, we are truly healed together as one within the mind of God. Holy Spirit gave me an image, I think actually about a year after this. This was November 2005. The image didn't come until November 2006. And I would say the image was actually more helpful to me than this message. Not that I didn't understand the message when I read it, but there are many things that Holy Spirit would tell me and I would understand at an intellectual level, but it would be quite some time before that intellectual understanding sunk in enough that it actually became a practiced understanding. And it was at least a year. It was November 2006, the first time I truly remember this as a practiced understanding. I got an email from someone in November of 2006, and it was, you know, for lack of better words, just to describe the email, what I'm going to call a very strong attack. And not only was the email a very strong attack, but for me, the person that the email was from was shocking. It was someone who is a known teacher of God, and I was surprised that a known, you know, teacher of God would send me an email that was so attacking. So I was surprised. But the image that Holy Spirit gave me to help me through this was the the image, when I first got the email, I had an image in my mind anyway, because, you know, the ego creates images in the mind too, I'm sure you all know. So I had an image in the mind anyway, and the image was of this person's face all scrunched up in like an angry, hateful way. So I had this image in my mind of this person's face, and what Holy Spirit did was he changed that image. First of all, he softened the face, and then he pulled it back so I saw this person's whole body. And what I saw was this person in a tuxedo holding a silver tray. And the understanding that came with the image was that my brother was helping me to accept the atonement for myself by giving me the opportunity to believe in attack or not believe in attack. And what I instantly saw for the first time for real, I mean, you know, I may have read this stuff before, but this was the first time that I saw it for real. What I instantly saw was that I had a choice. I could believe that my brother was attacking me. But if I did, I continued to believe in attack and hatred and separation and victimization and defensiveness and that whole ball of wax. Or I could just see that my brother was giving me a gift. He was offering me a thought that is most certainly in our mind, the thought of attack. He was offering it to me. But he was offering it to me to believe or to not believe. And I was able to choose not believe because what I also saw was that he was offering it to me through our oneness. I was able to see that because we believe in attack, because that's an idea in our mind, he was able to act it out. And of course, he could never act it out if it wasn't an idea in our mind. So I was able to see that it is an idea, it is a thought, but it's not at all true, because the reason the idea is in his mind is because it's in my mind and because it's in our mind. In other words, you know, I don't know if I can explain this well, but I was able to see that this is a shared idea that we act out together for each other, however you want to word that. And somehow, in knowing that it was a shared idea that we act out together for each other, the idea that it was also an attack disappeared. At least the way I saw it, you can't have a shared idea that you act out for each other and truly have attack too. For me, the two did not stand side by side. So what I was able to do with this image of my brother in the tuxedo with the silver tray was I was able to see that there was truly see. So this was the great part. So I wasn't making this up. I wasn't intellectualizing this. I was able to truly see that there was no attack, and I was instantly freed. Instantly and forever freed from at least that perception of attack. Of course, there were others and more opportunities to practice, but still, it was a great, great miracle. So this is what, of course, the Holy Spirit is saying in this message, which I do believe we have read here together before a few weeks ago. I think I started in the wrong place. But again, everything our brother does is the acting out of beliefs in our one mind. And when I can watch from that perspective, truly watch from that perspective, I see completely differently than I do if I believe that we are separate and that he's the one with the air. I'll just let go of the mic for a second and see if anyone has anything they want to say about this before we go on to the next message. Oh, and I noticed that Lenny's cheating. No, I'm teasing. He says he's listening from another room with wireless headphones, so my sense of humor mind said, ah, he's listening and watching American Idol at the same time. But actually, I don't know if American Idol is on in California at the same time it is here, so maybe he'll be able to watch American Idol later if he wants to. I don't know. I just gave the link again because I think a couple more people. Oh, he says he's not an American Idol fan. Okay, so he's not cheating then. I did give the link again. We're looking at November 2005. And what we're going to do now is we're going to look at November 17th, 2005, called Clarity Regarding Identity. And if we've read this message before too, which we might have, then I'll just go through it quickly as well, and we'll go on to the next message. I think I may have lost my place because it's been about a month since I've been here for Holy Spirit Guides. But it never hurts to read these messages more than once. They're always useful. So here we go. Clarity regarding identity. You are correct in your recognition that you and I are one. And yet, the identity that you hold on to as precious is nothing, so it cannot be a part of our oneness. The you and I that is one does not include a you and I. It is only I am. This scares you because I am is recognized as the name of God. Let's look at why you seem to be afraid of the thought I am. I don't remember reading this, but something tells me that we did, so I'm going to keep going. It's funny, I don't remember, but my gut's saying, yeah, you read it, so let's keep going. I am is all that is. They are the same. But the term, all that is, seems to somehow include you and all that is familiar. I am does not. I am, as all that is, seems to be an abyss of mostly nothingness, where everything familiar has been conquered by the nothingness that devours everything. This is a frightening picture of God. Yet it is your picture of God. And I think this is what some people call blobism. This picture does not always seem to be in your conscious awareness. So sometimes you think you want God very much. But this picture is in your awareness enough that you do recognize it as yours. You fear death. You want, above all else, to exist. So what you fear above all else is death. Yeah, we did read this. Now I'm remembering, but we'll continue. And there seems to be two deaths that you fear. Fear of death of the body and fear of death of the soul. You identify with the body, and so you fear its death. Yet, you can also comprehend that you may be more than a body. Within this comprehension is the thought that, as an individual soul, you may have a shot at existence beyond the body. This is why the fear of death is not your final fear. This is why you choose death over God. In death, you still have a shot at individual happiness, individual glorification, and a shot at somehow being all that is yourself. But with God, You know you do not have this shot. With God, the game of individuality is over. The individual mind disappears and ceases to exist entirely. This is your greatest fear, feared by you even more than you realize. This is why you resist me, even though you think you want me. I am in no hurry. I am not afraid that you will not choose me or that you will remain separate from me forever, because I know the truth. I do not fear my own death, and so I perceive no struggle. From where I am, everything is truly okay, proceeding according to plan for the good of all. Do not feel rushed to push yourself into oneness before you are ready. Even this desire comes from the ego, which believes it is guilty for being separate, and so it believes separateness must be fixed for its own salvation, fixed as in something's broken. This is a crazy thought that goes nowhere very fast, and it leaves you feeling frustrated, alone, and worthless of all that is. Just stay with now. It is always the perfect time. It is always the perfect lesson. It is always perfect. And it is in no way at any time a wasted step. I love that. I love that. Now is in no way at any time ever a wasted step. You will arrive at me in perfect time. Until then, we can enjoy this dance called awakening together. Give no thought to a reality you cannot understand. I'm going to read that sentence again. Give no thought to a reality you cannot understand. Let reality dawn upon you. Let it dawn by resting comfortably and peacefully through the night that seems to precede it. And of course, the night would be any time that we are feeling fear. You know, it's funny, I don't remember when this message came. I mean, I don't remember what was going on with me, except I do remember that throughout October and November of 2005, Holy Spirit talked to me a lot about fear. I also know that I used to go through a lot of fear, very strong fear, the kind of fear that, you know, I thought the fear itself might kill me, you know, that kind of fear. I still certainly feel fearful at times now. I'll feel a little fear come up, but it's been a while, a very long while now, since I felt the fear that I felt in my first year and a half on the spiritual path. The first year and a half, I felt gripping fear, where I thought I might die from the fear itself. And during October and November of 2005, Holy Spirit gave me several messages about fear. This is one of them. And then I came and taught. It might even have been December 6th. I don't know for sure. That date's popping in my mind, but I might be wrong. It might even have been December 6th, 2005. I came in Pal Talk, and I taught all of the messages on fear in a row. And at the very end of that teaching, I can't remember what I said. I said something like, you know, okay, I'm afraid, and it's okay. Something like that. I don't remember the exact words, but something to that idea. Okay, I admit it, I'm afraid, and it's okay. And I have been okay with fear ever since then, which is rather amazing. I've still had some pretty strong fear experiences. In fact, in the summer of 2007, the Holy Spirit led me into the mind, where I was able to see extreme fear within our one mind, extreme, extreme fear. And of course, you can't see extreme fear and not feel it. But it was different because prior to this 2 months where Holy Spirit taught me about fear, I would say the real problem was I was afraid of the fear. And when you're afraid of the fear, that compounds it in a horrible way. That's probably what I mean when I say I thought I would die from the fear. After the 2 months of training on fear, of which this message is a part, after that 2 months of training, I was never again afraid of fear. I could still feel fear, even feel extreme fear, but I no longer feared it, which means I no longer thought I would die from it. I always knew that I would survive it. I always knew it was just an experience, and I always knew it would pass. And in fact, I think that's one of the greatest gifts. I've been given a lot of great gifts by Holy Spirit, but one of the greatest gifts was this miracle that has not killed fear, but it has killed my fear of fear. So when fear comes up now, whatever it is that I need to face as I move forward on this path, I can now do that, and I know that I can do that. I know that I can be in fear and be okay. And that's a great gift because there is fear here. So once again, I will let go of the mic and see if anyone has anything they want to share. Yes, Laura Blue, I see you have a question, okay? Let's see, I'm going to take a drink, Laura Blue. Hold on 1 second. Oh, wait. How could a desire for oneness come from the ego? From what Holy Spirit was saying, and I think I trust that I've also seen this in my own mind, the desire for oneness comes from a slightly different place from the ego. The desire for oneness on the part of the ego comes from the ego's judgment of itself. You see, that the idea that is the ego, that idea also judges itself as a bad idea. And so its desire for oneness does not come from love of oneness. It comes from a desire to be good instead of bad. Which certainly we could never wake up from that desire because that's still dualistic judgment. But the ego judges the thought of separation as bad and it wants to correct something bad so that it can be good. And you don't have to look far in your mind to find this. If you pay attention to it, you will notice it. You'll notice it. I noticed it in my mind today, as a matter of fact. It's just, again, I notice all of these thoughts in my mind maybe every day, to be honest. It's just that I've learned to see them and relax and not be freaked out by them and not follow them anymore. But even today, you know, more than once, I saw the thought that I'm not doing enough to wake up. That's a very common thought, I think. I'm not doing enough to wake up. There's something in me, and I believe in all of us, that's always telling us we're not doing enough. Well, that's what Holy Spirit is talking about here. That's the ego. That's the ego's desire for oneness. But again, it's not a true desire for oneness. It's just judgment. It's just judgment of itself. And those are the types of thoughts that, again, we just learn not to listen to. We see the thought pass through our mind. I'm not working hard enough to wake up. And then we remember to just relax into that thought. Remember it's not true. Remember what Holy Spirit said in this message, that every moment is perfect. Remember that Holy Spirit is with us. You know, these thoughts that come from the Holy Spirit will replace that thought. And then Laura Blue continues, also, how could one distinguish between a desire for oneness based on the ego and a desire for oneness based on God? That's not that difficult once discernment is in place, because there is a completely different feel. Feel is the bottom line. Again, the ego's thought is coming from judgment. In fact, underneath it, you know, what it's really saying is it's saying you're not good enough or you're bad. And the thought, you know, that you're not working hard enough to wake up, for example, it has that you're not good enough, you're bad vibration to it. And it's not a hard vibration to pick up on once we're familiar with discernment. The Holy Spirit desire or Son of God desire for oneness is an opening of the heart that has a completely different feel. And one thing that's really nice about it is, again, it doesn't require intellectual understanding. It's an opening of the heart where you are willing to continue moving forward even though you don't know what you're moving forward towards. It's just a love draw. So hopefully that answers the question. Yes, Lord Blue. Okay, he's asking, is a desire before a judgment or after a judgment? Holy Spirit has told me multiple times, including in the commentary today, that desire always comes first. Desire is the birth of everything. So this is why he asks us, one thing he asks us to do is to focus on our true desire or our desire for awakening. Because as this desire grows and grows and grows in us, then it changes everything that follows it. For example, as your desire for love, true love, which of course would not include judgment, as your desire for love really grows in you, or me, that's the general you, not just Lord Blue, as it grows in us, our desire for love, what can also start to happen is we can start to see the judgments in our mind more easily and let them go more easily. But that ease that seems to be coming to us is coming to us because the desire was in place first. Likewise, if we still believe ourselves to be guilty and still desire to hide that from ourselves by blaming others, you know, we're going to have judgments galore. We'll sit on an airplane and watch people board the airplane, and our mind will just judge every single person that's coming on the plane. And that's because we still have a desire to hide from our own belief in guilt. So Lord Blue says, if desire always comes first, then desire could not be because of a judgment of not doing enough, could it? Let me read the question again. I must have desired to understand because I didn't. Let's see. Let me try that again. He's calling it sub-desire. If desire always comes first, then a desire could not be because of a judgment or not doing enough, could it? Well, I think the reason I didn't understand the question is because there's no truth to the second half of the question. The thought that I'm not doing enough is never true. That's a lie. This is what the ego will lie and tell us we're not doing enough. Every one of us is always in the absolutely perfect place. So, I guess that's why the question isn't making sense to me. I don't see a link between desire and the thought I'm not doing good enough. That would not create a desire in me. If I was listening to the ego telling me that I'm not doing good enough, if I keep listening to that, at least in my experience, what that's going to do is seemingly beat me down, because that's what the thought is intended to do. And if I'm listening to that thought, it's because I still have a desire to believe those types of thoughts about myself. The correction would then be to recognize the error and then choose to start focusing on a new desire. The new desire would be, again, the desire to see differently, is a great place to start. Just the desire to see differently if we're seeing ourselves as very unworthy. Hopefully that answered the question. And Laura Blue, your hand is still up. Do you have another question, or did you just forget to put it down? Let me try again. Okay. A desire for oneness cannot be based on the ego, because this desire is always before a judgment, right? Sorry, Lord Blue, the question is not clicking for me. A desire for oneness. Teddy says yes. It's clicking for Teddy. Teddy, do you want to take the mic? I'm not understanding the question.
So, the ego in and of itself is nothing. It doesn't have any desire. It doesn't have any power. It doesn't have anything. Like, the only thing that's really going on is, and I use the word soul, you know, if because it makes sense to me. I could use, you know, Christ consciousness. All that's actually happening is the desire for the soul to return home, or the desire for the Christ consciousness to break into your awareness, is always pushing up against the membrane that of the ego, and you feel it. Now, the ego always speaks first and attempts to co-opt what you're experiencing or what you're feeling and turn it to its own ends. But in and of itself, the ego doesn't have any power that you're not giving it, and it's deriving the power from the experience of the desire, which happens at a level that's like almost below our conscious ability to feel it at first. So all that's going on, and this is the entire nature of the awakening, is it's like the truth of who you are is pushing up against your own membrane of separation. And the ego experiences that push as a threat, and it responds to it as such. And when it's threatened, what it uses, and we'll talk about what it is you're using. You're talking about judgment. It'll judge that threat within duality. And cause you to experience it as some sort of like dualistic sort of feeling, and you give name to it because the ego wants the control. It wants you to see it not for what's actually going on. In and of itself, the ego has no power and has no desire. It just gloms on to whatever it is that's going on and causes a distraction in you at the level at which this is really happening. There's only one true desire going on within the consciousness of the human mind, and that's the breaking through of the truth into our mind. That is the healing of our mind. So it's true. It's like you're feeling something. You don't know what it is. The ego wants control and doesn't want you to let you really know what's going on. So it interprets it. It judges it. It does anything it can to distract your attention from the level at which it's really happening within you. Because if you knew what it was, you would just simply surrender. It's not that you can still desire an illusion. It's that the illusion can cause you to think that there's something desirable in it.
Yeah.
The illusion has no power. The ego has no power. The power is always coming from the soul. You can think you desire an illusion as the solution to the problem of desire. Of course you can still, I'll give a lot of leverage, you didn't take it. Of course you could still decide for separation. But there's still only one power. There's not two powers. The ego doesn't have any power. It doesn't have anything other than what you give it.
Yeah, Teddy, it sounds like your inner guide, which I know you call Jesus. I know you're always talking about Jesus, and my inner guide, which I call the Holy Spirit, help us in the same way with this. What I'm hearing is exactly what my inner guide has told me, and what eventually comes out in NTI as well, is that there really is only one desire, and any other desire is an illusion. Another word that Holy Spirit sometimes uses to make it helpful is that it's just a habit, that we don't truly want the illusion, or we don't truly want to not know ourselves anymore. The entire Son of God is in agreement that we want to awaken, and that's what we're doing, but we are still in a habit or a loop of choosing what we thought we wanted. The tiny mad idea, the desire not to know thyself, the illusion, however you want to word it. And that what we're really in the process of is changing habits. But the Holy Spirit teaches me there's only one true desire. And he uses also the language Teddy just used. You can think you want, but think you wanting and actually wanting are not the same thing. And this is very helpful to me because I watch people that listen to the type of teaching. There is another type of teaching, and I'm certain it's out there because it's helpful to some. I don't doubt that different methods of getting to the same place are all worthwhile. It's like Holy Spirit just told us, we're all in the perfect place all the time. But I have watched some people struggle with the type of teaching that says, for example, you keep judging because you want to. You know, this is a type of teaching that's out there. You keep judging because you want to. And I watch people say to themselves, well, I must want it because I keep doing it. I must want it because I keep doing it. And I say, well, if you keep telling yourself you want it, you know, you're going to stay stuck there. You don't move beyond it by saying, I want this. You move beyond it by saying, I wanted it. But now I no longer do. Or, I must think I want it. But if you go deeper within yourself, you'll find that's not true. And what Holy Spirit through me is always encouraging, always, always, always encouraging, is to get in touch with that true desire and let that true desire lead. You know, move from the level of false desires or elusive desires, those things you don't really want anymore. You really don't. And move into your true desire. Focus on your true desire. Let your heart open. Feel that. And let it guide you. And when you start being guided by your true desire, things do change. You actually do start making less judgments. I mentioned the example a while ago of, you know, being on an airplane and watching people get on the plane and the mind just automatically judging everyone on the plane. The reason I came up with that example, of course, is because that's something my mind used to do. I would sit on a plane and people would get on the plane and I'd judge hairstyles and shirts and postures and what they were saying and, you know, whatever else there was to judge, just whatever my eyes landed on. But now when I sit on a plane, I no longer experience that. It's just no longer natural to my mind. I sit on a plane smiling and enjoying people as they get on it. And this is not anything I consciously changed. I noticed it changed, but it only changed through my desire, to love instead of judge, through being in touch with that desire, focusing on that desire. And then, of course, again, the first thing the desire did was it would show me when I was judging, and I would just look at a judgment and say, yep, I see that judgment, but I don't really want that. And through teaching myself that I didn't want to judge, that what I really wanted to do was love, and just through that, the miracle itself occurred. So I totally agree with Teddy that we only have one true desire, and I also think it's really useful to know that, to focus on that. And Lord Blue is ready to move on. So let's do that. But there's really nothing more exciting to talk about than true desire. Nothing more exciting to talk about. Okay, so then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the next message, which maybe we haven't read yet. Oops, wait, Lenny has his hand up. Go ahead, Lenny. Sorry, I had my mic all ready for you, Lenny. Okay, let's see. Wouldn't ego desire be a metaphor for our own desire since the ego is causeless? Again, in NTI, that's called the false desire, meaning that there, and often it's said there's remnants of a desire. Yes, it would be a desire that came from our mind, There's still remnants of the desire in our mind because we continue to listen to it. We continue to believe it. We're in a habit of acting it out, you could say. But again, it's not our true desire. It's not what we really want. And this is what we are awakening to. We are letting go of the false desire that did come from us. Yes, Lenny. Letting go of the false desire and becoming more and more in touch with our true desire. And you do have absolute freedom to play the game. Yeah, that's another thing that Holy Spirit, through me, is very, very clear on. There is no such thing as guilt. No such thing as guilt whatsoever. You have complete freedom to play the game. But what Holy Spirit explains is the reason playing the game can't make you happy is because it's not what you truly want. So as long as you are choosing to play the game, there will be some type of suffering or pain in your life because you are out of harmony with yourself. See, that's where the pain comes from. What you want is to awaken. What you want is to know yourself as you truly are. So you will have the experience of being unhappy even as you're making the choice to believe the old desire. So it's really quite simple. You know, I mean, we can talk about this and complicate it within our minds if we want to, but it's really quite simple. The simple truth is we are love and we want to know ourselves as love. And if we focus on that and put our time and attention on that, we're going to lead ourselves into happiness. That's the simple message. And I like to keep it simple. I don't mind getting into these complicated discussions, but in the end, I want to wrap it up with a simple thought. Because it is simple. There's nothing hard here. All right, so what I'm going to do now is scroll up. And this is new. But we only got 10 minutes, so we'll see how we do here. It's called Letting Go of the Ego. It's from Sunday, November 20th, 2005. And this was a message Holy Spirit just gave me to help me. So let's see what it says. Holy Spirit's doing the talking here. I'm doing the listening and the writing. Letting go of the ego can seem to be difficult because you have a belief that you are letting go of you and everything familiar and dear to you. As long as you hold on to this belief or this perspective, trying to let go of ego is for naught because you cannot. You cannot let go of that which you believe is you. This is why you must be led to another way of seeing first. The miracles, or shifts in mind, are gentle stepping stones that lead you to the point of readiness, which is full willingness to lay the ego aside. I'm going to read that sentence again. The miracles, or shifts in mind, are gentle stepping stones that lead you to the point of readiness, which is full willingness to lay the ego aside. You will be fully willing at that seeming point because you will have shed the belief that the ego is you. This does seem to be a process from the perspective of time. Your willingness will seem to grow. And your perspective will shift through miracles. You help yourself along this path by focusing yourself to do what I ask within each moment of your awareness. Now here's where Holy Spirit gave me a checklist of what he's been asking me to do. And I remember I hung this up above my desk for a very long time until this became like second nature to me and I didn't need a piece of paper anymore. But this is what he was teaching me to do and asking me to do. Number one, watch the thoughts in your mind. Do not fall asleep and accept them without seeing them. And of course, as you all know, this was very definitely my habit because this is everyone's habit. I would just be thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and believing everything I'm thinking and not paying any attention to what I'm believing. Just because it showed up in my head, I believed it. And this, of course, is doing nothing but believing the ego and identifying with the ego. So the first thing Holy Spirit said again was, watch the thoughts in your mind. Do not fall asleep and accept them without seeing them. And then number two, choose to let ego thoughts rest and fall quiet in your mind. Give no additional power to them. Now, this is something I perceive to be very powerful that Holy Spirit taught me, which I practice all of the time. I told you that, you know, certainly every day I still see, you know, all of these ego thoughts in my mind. And one example that I gave you a while ago was the idea that I'm not working hard enough to wake up. Once upon a time, if I saw the thought that I was not working hard enough to wake up, you know, that would be followed by an entire story that I would listen to and believe and get myself all worked up about. And of course, the whole time I'm doing that, I'm giving additional power to the thoughts or additional power to the ego. Now, when a thought like that comes into my mind, I recognize it immediately as ego. And so I recognize I do not want to give my power to it. So what I do then is I just, what I call, rest my mind. I let my mind go still for a moment. And that way, that thought is not followed up with a story. It doesn't, you know, get bigger and bigger and bigger. There was just the thought. I see what the thought is. I rest my mind. It dies. And there's no story following the thought. So again, choose to let ego thoughts rest and fall quiet in your mind. Give no additional power to them. Next step, and I practice this every day, ask me for my thoughts and hold them dear in your mind. Repeat them, contemplate them, feel gratitude for them. Well, if you're anything at all like me, you may be able to still your mind for a moment or two, but you're not going to walk around with a still mind all day. That mind is going to start moving again. So when I see an ego thought in my mind, and I still my mind to let the thought fade and die, I then ask Holy Spirit for a thought to replace it with. And today, in fact, most of the day, my thought was focusing on remembering my desire to listen within more, feeling gratitude for my desire to listen within, and trusting that my desire to listen within more is going to lead me to more listening within. So whenever I would notice that an ego thought was coming into my mind, I would rest, let that thought die, and then return my mind to my remembrance for the day. And this keeps the mind busy, because at least for now, my mind likes to be busy. I still don't know how to keep it still for a long time, but this keeps my mind busy on a thought that Holy Spirit has given me. Then Holy Spirit says, turn to your willingness, cherish it as your strength. And another word for willingness here is desire. Turn to your desire, cherish it as your strength, or as Teddy and I were discussing, it's the true desire he's referring to. Realize that your true desire is your strength. That's what's leading us to awakening. Then he says, follow my guidance in peace and confidence, for you are truly being led. There are no accidents. Everything works together for good. And the way that translates in my mind is trust the moment. If I am feeling right now to come in and turn on Pal Talk and listen to who's speaking, trust the moment. That's where I am to be. If I am feeling right now to go and clean the bathrooms, trust the moment. That is where I am to be. And just always, always trust, you know, when I'm in my right mind, whatever I'm feeling to do, whatever I'm feeling prompted, just continue to trust that. Remain in the flow, in peace and confidence. And then it's funny, he ends like he started the list. Watch the thoughts in your mind. Remember that you have a choice as to what you will believe. So he both begins and ends with watch your thoughts. Because, of course, as soon as we start not watching our thoughts, that's when the ego will come back pretty strong. So being aware of what's going on in our mind is something we never want to lose touch with. And then Holy Spirit says, this is all that I ask of you. This is the process that will usher in miracles and will carry you to your point of full willingness. Do not worry as to when. Again, worry is of the ego. Let the worry rest. Be patient and love yourself, even as I love you. So that last paragraph, again, is alluding to the thought, I'm not working hard enough to wake up, or I'm not waking up fast enough. You know, he's just saying, just put all of those thoughts aside. Be patient, love yourself as I love you, and just do these simple steps. You know, watch your mind. Let the ego thoughts die. Remember the thoughts I give you. Contemplate them. Feel gratitude for them. Repeat them. Turn to your true desire. Cherish that as your strength. Follow my guidance in the moment in peace and confidence. There are no accidents. Everything's working together for good. And keep watching your mind, by the way. So it's a nice little list. And like I said, I kept that hanging above my desk for a long, long time until it became a complete second nature to live that way. So I'll just let go of the mic, see if anybody has anything they want to share. Yeah, Lenny is saying, powerful ideas, RDA. I'm very, very grateful for the guidance that I've had since starting this spiritual path. It has been extremely helpful to me. My goal now is to continue to turn to that inner guidance. My latest challenge is a strong resistance to this inner guidance that has always been so natural to me. It's funny because it came on very naturally, and I know that some of you even wonder why, you know, I was fortunate enough to have this natural inner guidance. Many of you have questioned me about it. But lately, and it was very natural, never without resistance. Lately, I'm having a lot of resistance. So this is one thing that I'm just watching in my mind. I'm just trusting that it will pass. I'm trusting that, it will die, that the guidance is always there. And anything that I'm getting from Holy Spirit, I'm just feeling grateful for. I'll be honest, right this second while I'm telling you this, I kind of want to cry. So it shows that there is some frustration in me, maybe some fear, definitely some fear in me around the fact that this natural inner guidance that I've always had is a little tougher right now. But you know what? We go through all kinds of things when we're on this spiritual path. And so I'm just going to accept this that I'm going through right now. Just going to accept this. And like I said, trust that my inner guidance is always there. But this is why today, like I said, today I've been focusing on better listening within, because my listening within is not as easy for me right now as it has been at even other times in the past. And in fact, this has been coming on for a couple of months. This isn't brand new. This is something that's been coming on for a couple of months. So I'm just doing what Holy Spirit asked me to do with it. I'm noticing that my desire is listening within. My desire is to be led by Holy Spirit. It is not my desire to go off and have an independent or ego command and control again. So I'm noticing that is my true desire. That's what makes my heart sing. I'm feeling grateful for the fact that is my true desire. And then I'm trusting the fact that is my true desire, that this temporary period of resistance to guidance that I'm going through will pass. And I'm just doing my best not to be afraid of it, just allow it. And that's where we're at. So, but yeah, Holy Spirit's given me a lot of help over the years. And I'm sure that help is going to continue. I'm sure it will. But some of you may have noticed that, like, the single quiet thoughts are coming every other day right now instead of every day. So these are kind of symptoms of the resistance I'm going through. So, but everything is good. I trust that. Okay, well, I'm out of time. I love you guys, and I'll see you around. Bye.